Good morning, honorable members, and good morning to the department and the Food and Allied Workers Union. You are welcome to the meeting. we have extended this invitation because of the crisis that is faced by our poultry sector. So we was invited you to come and listen to yourself to understand what are the challenges that you are facing as a stakeholder, our stakeholder, so that together with yourselves and the, those that are supposed to take decisions, we can get a better solution to attend to the challenges that we are facing. We have received apologies from the Deputy Minister. The Minister is abroad, and we have another saying he's attending the conference of the Grain SA, and Honorable Sorokulu is attending another meeting. So those are the apologies that we've received, including Honorable Jaisa, who will not be able to attend the meetings today. We'll start by introducing ourselves from our side. I'm Rosina Semenya, the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee, Agriculture, Fishery and Forestry. Next to yourself is Honorable Kuka. Can you make sure that then you have Honorable Mwabe and Honorable Feltane, Honorable Mapanga, Honorable Matale, and Honorable Maloyi. These are the members of committees. I've already indicated that they are those that have given an apology. Behind there are our support staff. Behind you are the department, the representative, and some Dr. Mzisan with his team. So you're welcome to the meeting. As I've indicated, honorable members, you have received the presentation, but will now allow Fau to introduce themselves. Must know whom we're speaking to, and the leader of the delegation will then take us through the presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. On my right is the General Secretary of Food and Allied Workers Union, Congregatish Masamola. I am the President of Food and Allied Workers Union. My name is Atuel Nazo. On my left is our research comrade, Ebi Tani. Thank you. Kadisha Masemula will be the one that will do the presentation on our behalf. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and also for the opportunity to give our perspective on the current crisis ravaging our country in the chicken industry, and what our expectations and proposals are. You know, by way of background, just to illustrate that as a union, we've always had, call it a policy, interest on matters of trade relations between the Republic of South Africa and the rest of the world. And it was not by mistake that at the height of the trade negotiations between South Africa and the European Union, on what was then called the Trade Development and Cooperation Agreement, We took a keen interest and went even abroad to go and lobby progressive forces and civil society formations to support the stance that our government was taking in discussions with the European Union Commission at that stage. Particularly when there were sticky issues on wines and fisheries during those negotiations. So we thought we must just indicate that the interest that we have taken now in the chicken industry is not a newly found interest on issues of trade relations. But also, you know that as recent as 5 years ago, this union went and staged protest marches here in Cape Town at the consulate offices of the Brazilian of Brazil, partly because there was a noticeable surge in the imports that were coming from that part of the world. So that goes to emphasize that the issue of the chicken industry has always been at the back of our mind. Now, getting to page two, and now dealing with the issue that we have been invited to talk about, one would be asked a question, why EU and not why United States are AGOA, or even not why Brazilian imports are not receiving the attention that the European Union is at the moment. It is because here we're not dealing with your ordinary surge or increase in imports for other reasons than lack of competitiveness on the part of South Africa. Here we're dealing with what we call unfair trade relations between our country and the European Union when it comes to chicken trade. It is unfair, and we will indicate why we're saying it's unfair. Maybe I should just proceed and go to 3.1. You see, what the European Union does, it's not engaged in fair competition. What they do, firstly, they receive direct and indirect support by their government in one way or the other, something that is generally known. And secondly, these chicken producers engage in an exercise, I'm talking European chicken producers, engages in an exercise where in their local jurisdictions they sell the breast at the premium. So European consumers for health, for lifestyle, and for any other reason are prepared to buy chicken breast at what we consider ridiculously high prices. Perhaps it's because they would want to get access to chicken breast at all costs. So that's their own culture. But what they do then, because the rest of the chicken they regard as waste, and I guess they can't dig trenches and literally dump drumsticks, thighs, and other parts of chicken that they don't consider to be part of their lifestyle or eating habits. They then have to find outlets where to send this chicken or the rest of the chicken. And South Africa happens to be one of the outlets where they can dump this chicken. Dumping. In other words, they sell those brown portions or leg quarters at prices below the average cost of a whole bird. So for every two leg quarters that they sell out of chicken, the price is below the overall they sell that at the price below the overall cost of producing one single chicken, a bird. So that's dumping. And that is the problem. And that is what has actually informed our actions as the Food and Allied Workers Union. So European Union is not competitive, or at least it's not as competitive as South African chicken producers. There's evidence all over that can confirm that assertion. In the World Poultry Association, South Africa is regarded as the fifth most competitive chicken producer in the world. Of course, Brazil, Argentina, and two more other countries are more competitive than South Africa. But certainly the rest, the entire Europe or European Commission lags behind the Republic of South Africa when it comes to cost competitiveness on chicken production. Given that, I mean, we have qualms with the rise of imports coming from United States using AGOA as a platform, but, you know, that we can deal with. Here now, we're dealing with a dramatic rise of imports of leg quarters from Europe that are dumped, not that are finding their way to the retail chains and other platforms of sales in this country on fair basis. It is an unfair trade, and for that we have decided to campaign against this morally repugnant practices on the part of European Union. And we are happy that the issue of the chicken industry crisis has become a national discourse, has received the attention of the country, and Parliament and this portfolio committee has developed an interest in understanding the problem, and in fact in doing what they could to deal with the situation. So what is the impact of this chicken dumping? I mean, I guess I don't have to take members of the portfolio committee through the impact because that can be pretty obvious. But perhaps to underscore that job losses is what we're not only expecting but have begun to experience. 1,350 workers of the second biggest chicken producer in this country, RCL Foods, have been retrenched when about 13 farms were closed and the processing factory was significantly downscaled in Hammansdale. Several hundreds of workers that are located in the biggest chicken producer called Astral Foods have now begun to work reduced hours of work a week. So some shifts have been closed, and workers as a result are earning lesser wages because they are working lesser hours because the shifts have been rationalized. A few days ago, the third biggest chicken producer in Country Bird Holdings will be closing down, hopefully not mothballing, one of its three abattoirs, and just under 1,000 workers will be affected in the next few weeks. And we are advised that if nothing is done, if there's no decisive intervention, These numbers will not only triple and quadruple, but will multiply, because the local chicken producers will be left with no option but to service only fast food outlets, because those, perhaps with the exception of Woolworths, cannot source chicken from abroad. They have to use, for quality and other reasons, locally procured chicken. Now, what is our proposal? Our proposal, Chair, is that our government must be very decisive. And by the way, we wish to salute the government for having taken note of our outcry, for having established the task team, and which task team include several government departments led by the trading industry, as well as the industry players, composed of chicken producers, and ourselves as the Food and Allied Workers Union, because that task team has begun to do work. It is moving with the speed that is commendable at this stage, but it needs to arrive at the conclusion, or rather at the end of its mission, and conclude crafting the necessary intervention packages that Cabinet should approve and implement in saving the industry. The immediate measures that can be considered to try and defend this industry is what we would call trade measures. We think that safeguard measures can be employed, and the 13.9% that was imposed as a reaction to the swine flu ravaging some of the member states of European Union was quite low. So we don't have figures, but it has to be significantly higher than the 13.9% safeguard duties. And secondly, our government must consider pursuing anti-dumping duties. The only problem with that is that there's lots of legalistic requirements that needs to be met, because you need to have evidence and proof that indeed dumping is causing this harm, and therefore those duties are justified if imposed. And it takes a bit longer. And like I said, we do not just have luxury of time. With the passage of every day, the situation is getting dire. In fact, the second biggest chicken producer, RCL Foods, they once told us that they were losing 1 million rand a day, something that could be equivalent to 360 million rands a year. And these losses were directly attributable to the dramatic rise of leg quotas coming from European Union. So every day passing, the situation simply gets more dire. But again, we have to consider some short-run and medium-term intervention measures. And to this effect, we think that we as a country must engage in what we call trade war, or tit for tat, with the European Union. there is something called swine flu in the ostriches here in South Africa. And on those bases, European Union is refusing or restricting access to our chicken products into their market, purely on the technical basis that there has to be proof submitted that the swine flu in ostriches, not in chickens, has been dealt with. So that's a technical barrier to entry for exports that may come out of South Africa to European Union. And we think that it's about time that our country engages or reciprocate that kind of behavior by Europe with technical barriers, by placing technical barriers to the imports coming from Europe. There's currently swine flu in Europe and in the poultry sector, not in some ostrich or some other non-chicken birds. And we think this could be used to essentially block imports coming from Europe, and justifiably, because it is confirmed by their own technical institutions that there is a swine flu. And that should be used to block chicken coming from Europe and to basically say Europe must prove, or member states of European Union must prove, at whatever point when they say that they've dealt with the swine flu crisis that they are currently facing. And for our country to basically say that it will do independent verification if that is true, that such a swine flu has been dealt with. So all we are saying is that the technical barriers to trade placed by Europe, why can't we place it the same as South Africans? What stops us from reciprocating their kind of actions? Because we've got all the necessary justified grounds to can do so, at least right now, as they are being ravaged by swine flu in their chicken industry. But also, you know, there are other requirements that Europe wants from our produce or from our exports in chicken as they arrive at the shores in Europe. They want to be satisfied that indeed some hygienic and other standards have been met, sanitary and so on and so forth. Perhaps it's their standards, perhaps that's how they would want to save their citizens against poor quality and unsafe products. But equally, South Africans want to save and should be saving South Africans against what we call waste coming from Europe, frozen for days, weeks, taking thousands of kilometers to arrive here. We need to begin to insist as a country that the bulk chicken that is being brought here must meet particular safety standards, must meet particular health standards. And the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries must begin to up the ante and demand that such standards must be met as and when we receive chicken from Europe. That's another way of playing a trade war, or of placing some technical barriers to trade for imports coming all the way from Europe. But anyway, I mean, there could be other sort of possibilities of engaging, other areas of engaging in this trade war or in this technical barriers to trade with the European Union. And then in the long term, the task team as well is discussing this issue. But as far in the long term, we believe that we must begin to... We may be the world's fifth most competitive poultry producer in the world, but we should not sit on our laurels and say we can't further improve. There's a room for improvement. We can get our country to improve its cost competitive position and begin to compete with the likes of Brazil. They may well be that Brazil has its own advantages. It's massively endowed with natural resources. It's a massive country on its own. Perhaps overcoming it on competitiveness may be a mountain to climb, but that's something we must aspire for as a country. We must look at the input side, and I'm happy that the task team is also exploring this issue of beginning to create a serious soybeans industry in this country, such that we can reduce the input cost and improve the competitiveness of our poultry sector. But we also are saying perhaps the crisis as they are affecting the poultry industry may as well serve as opportunities to transform the industry, both to transform the ownership patterns of the current poultry producers, but also to remove barriers to entry for small-scale and mid-size poultry producers, as we get our government to assist the poultry industry. And there are several ideas that are being pandied around on how the industry can contribute towards rural development and how the industry can basically achieve the goals of a rural development strategy. And Chair, in conclusion, we are saying that the government has all the possibilities, and we hope that the portfolio committee will get government to exercise the possibilities that they have and begin to employ policies and policy instruments that will defend our chicken industry. We don't want to see it going the way the chicken industry in Ghana had gone at some point. We don't want to see decimation of the industry in this country, because it's an industry that is located in semi-rural and peri-urban areas. It's an industry that employs low-skilled and unskilled workers. It is labor intensive by nature, so it ought to be defended. We want to argue at all costs, and in this specific case it ought to be defended because it is faced with unfair trade relations with Europe. It is competing against dumping, and dumping is known to be condemned even under the rules of the World Trade Organization. And by the way, the South African ITEC has found EU to be engaged in dumping in the past, and EU has still to prove that it was not engaged in dumping. So we're dealing with dumping, something that we cannot be thinking twice to address and to tackle as a country and as government. We hope that the task team that is doing its work currently will arrive quickly at proposed intervention packages that it will deliver to government and for cabinet to consider, and with lightning speed move in implementing those. This is because we just have weeks, not even months. If we have months, certainly it won't be beyond June. Otherwise, this industry will significantly shrink, and then it will then become a source of supply for chicken to fast food outlets than a chicken to the masses of the people through retailers for them to cook chicken as the number one source of protein. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Dr. Masemola. Just to confirm one thing, is it avian flu or swine flu? Because swine flu is for pigs.
It's avian. You're right,
yes.
Ma'am. Yeah.
Yes.
It's avian flu.
Okay. Members, that was a presentation from Food and Allied Workers Union. You are invited to engage with the presentation. Honorable Mwabe, Honorable Maloyi, Honorable Zeltana, Honorable Kruka, and Honorable Mapanga. Can start, Honorable Mwabe.
Thanks, Chairperson. Greetings to honorable members and the leadership of FAO. And firstly, thank you for taking this committee very serious by sending such a high-level delegation, President and the SG. Thank you. Chair, it's not a question per se, but it's a comment. You know, my constituency is in Pinetown in Devon, which covers the area of Hammersdale, where Rainbow Chicken Farms are. And it's a disaster what is happening. I want to attest to that. I've visited a number of families who have been retrenched. Some have been coming to my office. What can be done? The farm is literally closed. Some other units are closed, are shut down. Some are already damaged. And all of us will know that what the presenter is saying. This issue of dumping, it's a serious one. But I'm happy if I hear that there is a task team that is working on the matter. Maybe my proposal would be to monitor closely what the task team is doing, led by TTI and the representatives of the workers and employers. Maybe possible some stage we meet them, just to get a sense as well of what is going on, or maybe we wait for their report. But I think, Chair, this issue of the European Union, because to me it seems that they are bulldozing us at some stage. I think also as a committee, maybe we'll have to put up this matter for debate in the House as well. Because if you visit those families in Hammersdale, Pietermaritzburg, Camperdown, you will really hear very sad stories about rainbow chickens that is closing down. And I understand that it's not only that area, as the Secretary presented, but a number of areas, a number of employees have been retrenched. We'll have to really revisit some of our agreements with these foreign countries. Because it is in as much as we'll promote the international trade between countries, but we should prioritize our country, we should prioritize our people first. If something at the end of the day come harshly to hit back at our people, we'll have to really revisit what we've done. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I have just three questions. From your presentation, you have indicated to us that some companies have reduced working hours, others have closed some of their farms. As a result, workers have lost their jobs. Some of them are closing abattoirs and so on because of this problem that exists. And therefore, intervention is needed as soon as possible. And I'm happy to hear that you are part of the task team. From where are you sitting? Are you happy with the speed or the velocity of the work of the task team? If not, just indicate to us if there are challenges in that task team. Does the portfolio committee have to press some buttons to ensure that we arrest this situation? Because it is about to become a crisis. So are you happy with the velocity at that particular level? The second matter which I would want to raise, you know, we had an interaction with SAPA, South African Poultry Association, and their presentation and your presentation are not different.
All of you, you are raising the same problems, and you are saying it is necessary for the country to intervene as quickly as possible. You are saying we need to declare a trade war. They are saying we must take into account the Gigaba approach. They are calling it the Gigaba approach, which is a tit for tat, like you are saying. So I'm happy, and I suspect that we are working together. So it shows that all of us, as South Africans, we are concerned about this matter, and we need to, as quickly as possible, attend to this matter. Now, in your view, do you think that the companies that have closed down, those that are about to close down, do you think that government must take over those companies to ensure that there are no job losses, we run those companies and so on, for the benefit of the people of this country? So I would want to hear your view on that one. I know that you have said one of the opportunities out of some of these things is that we might transform this industry, particularly the ownership patterns and so on. But you haven't told me, because I would want you to zoom a little bit into the transformation part. Do you think that this industry is transformed? And if it is not transformed, what should be done? Because that is the main question that we need to get into. Because a radical economic transformation also talks to the poultry industry, and we need to zoom into that particular industry. The last question, Chair. Are you suggesting to us that the bulk chicken that comes from the EU in particular does not meet the health standard? And that is why you are suggesting that we need to work on this field. Is that what you are suggesting, that the current situation, they do not meet health standard, the DAF is not doing enough to ensure that they meet the health standard as expected, like they are doing in their own countries? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the presentation. Quite crisp, straight to the point. Basically, there are three areas that one needs to look at here. Three areas that one needs to look at here. One is the source of these chickens. Two, the question of the health, as well as the question of looking into the input costs. And so my comments and questions will be centered around that. Let's look at the health element of it all, for starters. Have any tests been done to show that the leg portions are necessarily less healthy than the breasts? I don't want us to go away with the belief that some portions of the same animal or same bird are necessarily less healthy. It could be that it's just fashion. That's why I want to clear that possible myth. For instance, I don't like a breast. There's too many bones. Okay. I'm talking about chicken breast. Sorry, Frank. Okay, back to the serious business. Now, looking now at the internal situation, like here we're dealing with a typical business situation. When a person decides to open a factory or to start a business which is based on chickens, at the back of their minds, uppermost in their minds, so to speak, is how much profit can I make? There's no question of doubt about it. So let's look at the internal situation. I will not necessarily talk to transformation. My colleague has already spoken, you know, to that. When you're running a business, you look at input cost, at input costs. Are you, as the labor force, prepared to make any concessions on salaries, which I know are a significant input cost. Are you prepared to sacrifice the salaries, short-term hours, if only to keep one's job? Or, you know, where, yeah, let's talk about short-term or smaller portions of salaries. Are you prepared, or have you considered that as an option? Or would you say, no, our salaries must not be tampered with? We have got industry, you know, when set salaries or wages, and we don't want to budge on that, because that's one input cost. Another input cost is whether you would like government to help to subsidize some of the input costs along the value chain. Chicken feed comes from somewhere. Do you think government needs to be persuaded to assist by way of subsidizing the cost of feed or some other input costs? We haven't done an analysis. This is where you have kind of shortchanged us here. I do have a fairly wide business background. How I wish you had come to us and say, this is the value chain. These are the input costs. Because here it's price versus price. And now we would have been able to say, okay, the reason the European market, the EU, you know, producers are able to dump products here at costs below that of a full chicken is because they have got lower input costs in this aspect and that aspect. The reason why the South African product is more expensive there than theirs is because our costs of producing a whole chicken are so high because of ABC in the value chain. Now, you have not given us that analysis. For me to be able to make a quality input to this or a qualified suggestion, one would need to look into that. You probably know what are the input costs. That's why I'm asking whether you would want government to consider that as another option to say some of the costs, you know, are in this area. And if government were to subsidize that, that would help a lot. Now, the last one is about what you have suggested, going back now to the source of the competitor, you know, legs, so to speak. Now, if we look at where this all comes from, and you're suggesting this trade war, have you looked at the potential negative impact of that insofar as the other goods that South Africa is doing, other business that South Africa is doing, you know, with the EU? Let's say South Africa exports certain materials. Now, the producers in South Africa of those materials, if we were to have a you know, typical trade war, would be affected. Do you not perhaps foresee a situation where you could be, you would necessarily be locking heads with other, you know, labor unions that are in those industries that would be affected if we were to have a trade war with the EU? That's why I said this is a typical business environment. We need to look at all those aspects. So those are my questions. Thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the presentation. Madam Chair, allow me just a few questions. The USA, eating patterns, you know, people staying in the USA, living in the USA, eating patterns is more or less the same as the Europeans. And I was just wondering if we are also looking at the USA, because we don't want the situation where in a year or 2 years' time we sit in this exact building and talking about the USA. So that's one question. And then the small farmers and the cooperatives in the industry, in the poultry industry, how are they affected? Is there any research done on the effects of this problem, of the dumping? And also, Chair, the importers, those that do their business as importers in South Africa, is there any discussions with those businesses about, you know, the way they're doing business? Because it seems like, you know, when you create a market, and maybe the problem lies with those who created the market for this dumb chicken. And I got an idea that it could be the importers. And then my last question, Chair, is there any value for money for our poor people on using this dumb chicken? Because if we import it in a very low price, if that price go through down and to our you know, to the nation and to the poor people. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Greetings to the honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, the comrades from FAO, Doctor and his entourage, colleagues. Chairperson, I don't think I should ask anything in this matter. To me, the presence of this comrade, Chair, it shows that they are here to pay solidarity with us as government. Because as government, Chair, you will agree with me that we do have policies in place and we have set targets. Those targets we need to achieve in a certain time. But the manner in which things are being done by our countries, in particular the Europe, to me, Chair, it reminds me during the time of the colonization. No matter, I don't want to be more political in this regard, but Chair, it is clear that politics is being taking place in this matter. The Europe countries are playing politics with us, the dirty one, in fact. So I just want to commend the Food and Allied Workers Union for their role. You are playing, comrades, in ensuring that employees are well treated in all spheres of life, more especially in the working environment. Chairperson, we agree as the government that we should have the free trade with other countries. So now if you can check, Chairperson, these countries, the Europe, are capitalizing now on our free trade. So the peoples of the free trade agenda, it wasn't made for them to capitalize the manner they are doing things with us. So if we can entertain this matter politically, I can say we mustn't forget their agenda as the Western imperialists. They are now playing their monopoly. So it is upon us, forging unit with the entire unions, the entire civil society of our country, I think we'll emerge victoriously in this matter. Because we need to fight it up until we emerge victoriously. There is nothing that we can say much more about this thing. We need to fight it because, Chairperson, people are losing jobs outside there. And it is our role to ensure that we defend, we protect them as the electorate outside. I hope all the parties in this Parliament or in this portfolio committee, we need to forge unit, come together and fight this thing. Here our comrades from the unions, they are here to play to our support. let's give them the necessary support that they are requesting from us. I therefore submit, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Just to add some few questions from the Chair. Already we have welcomed the presentation, and just to congratulate yourself, leadership of FAU, because you know it, you are coming, you are saying this is a problem, you're suggesting the solution, you're bringing the solution, which is I think it's lessened our job, and indeed we can move with speed, because already there is a suggestion that what needs to happen. Just to add on the question from raised by Honorable Kruger on the on the issue that you have raised, on the how smallholders and cooperatives have been affected. I think mine would be, we have met with the smallholders at some point as a portfolio committee. One of the things that they've been raising, which I think I agree with you, we can use this situation even to transform the industry, because when we met with the smallholder farmers, I'm not sure whether, because as we were discussing at that time, I couldn't pick up whether it's a problem of legislation or it's just the arrogance of the companies, that where the smallholder farmers were raising the question that they are unable to grow because the system is closed for them. And I just want, if you have an idea, just to unpack, because you might be operating from that that industry, you can help us to understand what how is the system, and I would again appreciate adding to what the question of Honorable Maloy on what must be done as we transform this industry. Maybe just to say that, just to come up with the proposal, how you think we should approach these issues using the opportunity that is there. I've listened to one professor from the University of Harvard was saying one of the challenges from South Africa is that we concentrate, we want to change something that we don't even know, instead of us developing and building and creating more. So I found that input making sense, because the more you want to change something that you don't even know, you take more time than actually building your own and resourcing your own and building them and develop them and grow and create jobs and all those things. So I find very interesting, and maybe I'll want to, even if it's not today, you can just prepare a presentation that you can send it to us, because so that we can engage in the transformation process and open this industry for even smallholder farmers and the value chain, the entire value chain. Because one of the challenges that they've raised, smallholder farmers, was the input cost, the feed to the chicken. It's more expensive, and it's even close to some few big companies. So we should actually look at that as we deal with this. You know, when we're dealing with AGOA, One of the things that we're raising was that, and I've raised it with the SAPA, but now I understand why probably it's because I was asking them, why are you not dumping the chicken breast to the Europe? Now I understand that the system is closed. Therefore, it's through our negotiators that they must unlock this process so that, because if we want to be a, you know, South Africa must accept that we have agreed to participate in the global world, which we ourselves were still imagining, and we go into the players with people who have been in the field before us. So the issues that we are raising of protecting our own, but even teaching them to play the dirty games as those that are playing dirty games. I think if you field players, the coach, that's why there is a coach. The coach coach them. You know this this club? Yeah, the Barcelona coach, which will say, no, you know, there is a this player who's troublesome. Just make sure that within 30 minutes you break the legs and in a smart way. So those are the things that the South African we have to discuss and see. How do we position ourselves in this environment that is not conducive? And again, the negotiators, which is the coaches, in this instance will be the coaches. Our negotiators, we have smart negotiators. Because I could see that sometimes we just give an inch. In my own, I might not know the situation that they find themselves in, but you know, you just have this perception that sometimes we give up, you know, I'm not sure it's because of the peaceful nature of South Africa. This thing that we have taken, we have resolved our issues peacefully, so it even goes in, even in the environment where situation needs a punch. We want to go with that skill of negotiating that we have negotiated amongst ourselves. So I just checking with you in terms of negotiators, because the one weakness that I've observed within the system is that you have trade and industry, which is very strong in negotiating, and they negotiate for the entire product or commodities. But our own agriculture, are we powerful to talk about our products? That's something that as we deal with these issues, we should look at that. And Comrade Mwale has talked about this, the social economic impact on of the issues. And Comrade Maloyi says, is it advisable for government to come in and buy those farms and create jobs for our people? The issue is, does our people ready and have that capacity to take over those things immediately, or what will happen? So I think those are the issues that we would, as we proceed dealing with the emergencies, but at some point we have to say how then this intervention would be sustainable to protect jobs and the issue that the question of the task team, as Honorable Maloyi talked about, the pace and the pace that they move in. Indeed, if we can be guided, do you believe that the pace that we are moving in dealing with this crisis, are we moving with the required pace that can actually save this situation? If not, what do you suggest further? What do you suggest we should do as portfolio committees? And you see, the other challenge is that if we knew that there is a task team, we could have actually have a joint portfolio committee with the trading industry. But you see, we didn't know from our side as a portfolio committee. I think, and they've been dealing with these chicken things there, and again, that is another thing that we have to close ourselves. How do we cooperate as portfolio committee so that we speed up the process? I think that's one of the things that we have to look at as we move forward, so that we don't have trade and industry discussing that other side. We deal with the issues this side. The last thing as we will be looking in transformation, we should then get a map that shows the entire industry, how it's been run, and who's there, and you know, the question. Actually, I'm trying to amplify the question that whether the do we have to, are we ready to sacrifice our salaries as the members? Mine would be, if I was to ask those ones that are owning the company, whether are they ready to sacrifice some profit? Because usually the other thing that we need to look at is the profit money margin. Because South African companies, they want 100% profit. So I think they need to be balanced. I agree that as we look at that, but we must even look at, because I could imagine, if you ask me that because we have not collect revenue, I'm ready to reduce my salary. I won't agree, because already I've got, you know, commitment that I'm living in. So the issue is the two parties, are we ready, as if we negotiate both the companies and the workers, are we ready to meet halfway? Because the issue is, even if we were forced to close, whether the company were affected such that they closed, but is it, this thing, did it happen in the good faith? You know, there is something that say, if I'm not doing the 100% profit, I close the factory. Because I'm looking at the something that goes into my pocket. Not, you know, when we're dealing with the Grain SA, when they had affected by the drought, they would say government must put money, and I would say, when you made profit, did you ever consider that you must put something to government to save for yourself? That, because when you do business, there will be a time where you have, the business goes down. Did you prepare that yourself? So that is something that we'll have to deal with it as we engage the company, because. You know, because it shouldn't be that we're being put at hostage, that because as government we said we'll create jobs, therefore somebody will just wake up tomorrow and say, because I'm not doing the profit of 100%, I close this company. If government does this, I close. So I'm just saying that as we consider all the input costs and all those issues, we should look even in the with the faith that we attend to these issues, because we don't have to take advantage of the situation and paralyze the situation further. So those are the issues that you can comment on and guide us as we're going to engage with the relevant authorities. We'll then have more clarity and work with you towards getting a better solution for the challenge that we are facing. Then you can respond, President and your team.
Yeah, no, thanks, Honorable Chair. There's been many comments, and some of them are supportive of the concerns we have raised, and there's lots of questions, and we'll attempt to respond to all these questions. The first member asked, commented really, basically attesting to the socio-economic impact of the actual closure of operations in Hammarsdale and what it literally means. So we cannot belabor the point except to say that will happen in all areas where farming operations are going to be closed because of the EU dumping. And by the way, let me just, and this what I'm about to say will also answer some of the questions raised. It's not only the three big main chicken producers that are affected. Also your mid-size chicken producers are affected. I'm aware, for instance, that somewhere in Mokopane, Polokwane, I think a company called Mike's Chicken, not Mike's Kitchen, Mike's Chicken, it's actually undergoing a business rescue. There's a couple of mid-sized chicken companies that are under distress. So, you know, just to broaden the perspective, the small scale chicken producers, and here I'm not sure if they're doing it, you know, there are those that are meant to survive because they basically serve a captured market in a village or in a district somewhere. I've interacted, in fact, with some. They also are fearful of what is happening, but they are still surviving, you know. They are more survival businesses than the ones that are heavily commercialized. But we don't have a research and therefore cannot speak authoritatively on the impact of EU dumping across the country from small to large scale. We only have large scale and mid-size studies that we get from the industry. We practically see, as honorable members seen in Hammarsdale and as I've witnessed in Mokopane, Polokwane area. So I hope that we might want to do more research on the impact to low level, I mean local level situation. The question asked by the second honorable member on the speed of the task team, we are content with the current speed, but we hope that the task team should conclude its business in the next meeting or second meeting from their last meeting, which was held yesterday. Beyond the two meetings, then the speed will be a cause for concern. And then honorable member will be able to say, I'm worried about the lack of needed velocity from the work of the task team. But for now, we are content that they are doing work, and it's a high-level team on from the side of of government. They've sent DDGs, so it shows that government has taken the matter seriously. And we we are happy that this is receiving the necessary attention. Now, I do not think there are blockages. Yesterday's task team meeting, one of the issues we've raised is that we hope that at the ministerial level, the ministers will encourage a faster flow of communication and information flow between respective departments on this matter, because the ordinary protocols, whilst they must be observed, but there must be a fast-track process because we don't have time. And I think that will be done as soon as the ministers get the message of the need to move with speed. Yes, indeed, we're working together with South African Poultry Association. We are alive. We're doing what we call patriotic work. In other words, we put aside some of the immediate differences and say, here we are faced with our country's poultry sector is under attack. It's a question of food security and the primary source of protein. It's a question of food sovereignty and the capacity, industrial capacity, to actually produce chicken. Let's work together. We know we disagree on the issue of a continued casual labor that they continue to employ. We disagree with the continued employ of workers supplied by labor brokers. We continue, in some cases, even embark on industrial action in pursuit of better wages, working conditions, and benefits. But when it comes to this issue, we set everything else aside, because we've got a national state of emergency. We have to together work and then invite our government, and with our government, try and save our industry from decimation. So yes, we do work together. Actually, we were together when we as FAO insisted and wrote to, following the protest march, to the embassy of the European Union Commission in Pretoria. The ambassador agreed to meet with us. We insisted on inviting the industry, and in that meeting, we were able, through the technical work of the industry, argue before the embassy, the ambassador of European Union Commission, that there is a case that they must answer on dumping. They may not have agreed, but we think we have articulated evidence that their dumping is dumping and is causing harm. And we'll continue to work with the poultry industry, we'll continue to work with government as a patriotic effort on our part, because we ought to save this sector. You know, the idea that government can buy the farms, poultry farms and processing factories, it's not an issue, because we would love, of course, increased government participation anyway. But if dumping is not blocked, then there is no solution. So you can, government can buy the entire poultry sector, but the impact will continue to be negative from chicken dumping. So it's not like government buying these operations is a solution to chicken dumping. Because solution to chicken dumping is to impose anti-dumping duties, is to employ safeguard measures, is to increase tariff protection against cheaper chickens coming from outside. transformation. It has to happen. Honorable Chair, because you also raised this issue, it's an imperative, and we think that the industry is beginning to recognize that. Now, there was a debate in the task team, and one of the things was, do we say, let's survive first as poultry sector, and then have a post-survival transformation program? Or let's try and push transformation and survival programs together. But if we don't survive as a sector, we may not have an agenda of transformation to speak about. And I hope it shouldn't be interpreted as a blackmail coming from the industry. I think it's a call that transformation is an imperative. But here and now, can we sort the survival issue first and then have a post-survival transformation discussions almost immediately? I've been advised, by the way, that should Europe agree to open their borders for our chicken, because we can out-compete Europe. It's well known, and I'm told it's confirmed by one of the studies in one of the renowned agricultural universities in Netherlands. We do outsmart Europe when it comes to competitiveness on chicken. Now, if they were to allow our exports to their shores, the studies done by the Poultry Association, and I don't think they are far-fetched, is that some 20,000-25,000 jobs could be directly created locally in the chicken industry, because the volumes that will go into Europe will effectively close to decimate the uncompetitive producers in Europe. Now, they are part of the long-term packages that the task team is considering. It's market access in Europe, but beyond Europe in other virgin markets, whether it's in the Arabian world, including Saudi Arabia and other Arab countries, or even in the East. So those are the discussions, you know, with long-term plans, because the potential to create more jobs out of exports is something we must explore as a country. And DTI happens to, with DAF, to have that on their, as a priority on their agenda. The bulk chicken coming here, labeling is an issue. A huge bulk of chicken not even labeled that it's destined for ShopRite Checkers, or it's a problem, and only the Association of Meat Importers and Exporters will then in their storage handling year talk about how to label the previously frozen bulk products. Of it's a problem. I'm not sure from health perspective, and I know that Dr. Modisani and his colleagues in DAF are working hard on the issue, but this is an issue that needs to be looked into quite deeply. So I can't say authoritatively chicken coming from Europe that is coming with huge bulks, it's unhealthy, it's unsafe, but I think government has the responsibility to up the ante and ensure that such chicken meets the necessary health and safety standards as adopted independently by South Africa. So that will be the kind of work that we would request DAF to do. But I can't make accusations and allegations at this stage because I haven't really, we don't have evidence, and we haven't started to look into whether such could be a possibility. I'm not sure, Chair, if it's a fashion or a lifestyle or if it's a health issue that Europeans prefer breasts than, and I must add, chicken breast than the rest of the chicken. So I know that South Africans, young and old, black and white, prefer the entire chicken. And that's why they would have more chicken braai packs with mixed portions than dedicated drumsticks and thighs by local producers. So I wouldn't be able to answer honorable member there, but that they prefer chicken breast than chicken leg quarters, it's mind-boggling. There has to be some reason for them to do so. If it's not culture, we suspect it may be health consideration. And then it's interesting that because the breasts come from the same body of the chicken, why should the brown portion be unhealthy? Or maybe those could be the reasons, less fat or, So there has to be why they would prefer that. On the issue of concessions by us as workers, we want to believe already we really are making sacrifice. In one of the operations of the Astral Chicken, some few years ago, 70% of the workers doing permanent work were actually casuals. In other words, were paid far less than the going rate of permanent workers. That ratio tells you that workers in this country continue to sacrifice, despite us not really noticing. And also, we are happy that the chicken producers realizes that they must convert workers into permanent positions. As permanent employees. So I wouldn't sit here and say we are prepared to freeze our wage increase or reduce, cut our wages, because in a country as unequal as ours in terms of income distribution, being the most unequal on earth, having beaten Brazil to this position yet failed to beat them in soccer, We can't afford to add to further inequality. We would rather ensure that workers get better above inflation rates of increases to try and address the inequality crisis that we see in our country. So we can't commit to such concessions, Honorable Chair. On the trade war, it's interesting, and this is a question that also our government must answer, because they may know certain things that we don't know in terms of the consequences of engaging in a trade war. You know, with regard to AGOA, I can understand when some of our colleagues in the camp assembly industry, if President Obama has closed the the border gates from receiving our assembled cars to United States, the impact in value and in volume would have been much bigger than the impact of the little chicken currently coming from United States. It has an impact, but it's not as big and huge as the current impact of chicken coming from Europe. And this ties with the question asked as to whether 2 years later, should we AGOA, is it going to be a problem? I believe it will be, you know, and Brazil is also going to be a problem. But at least we will be dealing with that problem from a perspective of just a rise in exports from Brazil and U.S., not as unfair as the European Union situation is right now. So I think that's the difference. But if you ask me to say the country must be alert about the impact of chicken from Brazil and USA in the coming few years down the line, I would say the country must be alert because that is likely to happen. Yeah, I mean, I think we tried to answer, Che, as many of these questions as possible. We do not have a research information on the impact, like I said, of dumping by European Union on small holder chicken farmers, and it's something that I guess we need to research as a country. Is there value for money for poor workers who are buying this waste coming from Europe? I'm not sure because it may well be that the retailers are simply putting a small margin above the margin of local prices or prices of local producers and in that way switch customers or switch consumers to focus on this sometimes no name brand products. I don't know if there is real value for money for poor consumers who are consuming this product. And I guess this is the kind of work that the task team must do because we need to know what the benefit is for poor consumers. Yeah, but you know, this thing that tens of thousands of jobs can be sacrificed because millions of poor consumers are able to get access to this cheap food coming from Europe. I think it's a policy issue that our country must address because yes, you may have millions buying this waste from Europe and eating it, becoming a source of protein. But what about tens of thousands of jobs that have a multiplier effect to the economy? Should we have either or should we have a balancing act? I think that's a question at some point as a country we must deal with. Yeah, I mean, a member is commending us for raising this issue. Like we were saying, we're doing it because we believe we must assist the entire country to save the current jobs as our country works on creating more jobs in a country like ours where out of every 10 people capable and able to work, about 4 are unemployed or close to 40% of our people are unemployed if you use the broader definition of unemployment rate. So as a union, we cannot stand by and not contribute to saving of the current jobs and perhaps even call for more job creation in our country when an opportunity is there to can do so, to can save the current jobs using policy instruments on trade, and to can create more if Europeans can open up their market and give access to our chicken produce. On some of your comments, Chair, before I give my colleagues to add, we do not know what could be barriers to entry to the mainstream chicken business. So that the smallholders can come in. I'm aware that the local retailers can play a role in ensuring that in their shelves there's a space for small chicken holder producers. If they are worried about the hygiene and the health standards of chicken produced in Khammarishani village, they may as well create capacity for that small holder to meet the health and hygienic standards as a retailer and assist them with the retail space, shelf space for their chicken producers. So I'm saying there could be other barriers that makes it difficult for smallholder to gain access to the mainstream. But I think it's an issue that should be on the agenda, because it's an interesting debate to have as to why some people will remain smallholder forever. Why can't they grow to mid-size chicken or poultry business? The mapping of the poultry industry in South Africa, it's some research that must happen. You don't only map the chicken industry, but you also map the sources of inputs, like your maize belt, like if there is areas of soybean productions, the kind of town an operation is at. So a total mapping of the industry will be an interesting research to have, because it can then assist to deal with how do we plug in smallholder participation in the mainstream of the chicken industry. Yeah, no, I'll end there, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I will just add on the transformation part, because basically there was a question that says, is this industry transformed? The industry is not yet transformed, because basically for ours we're just only to save currently the situation, particularly the jobs of our members, you know. And while we're engaging, we also raise those areas of transformation, because at a certain point we're also engaging with the small scale farmers and also those that are in the rural areas. But to find a way of how do we really, maybe after we have dealt with the situation of saving the industry, how are they going to be brought in terms of making sure that the transformation that does take place, it does also bring them in, you know. It cannot be only the bigger industry that will take terms, you know. They must talk on themselves of how they want to see the transformation going on in that particular industry. The second part, it's around whether government can buy these farms that they are already land or closed down. We can encourage that, because basically to me, where these areas where these jobs have been lost, particularly in those areas in Maritzburg, is actually the only source of employment in those areas. And if government is not doing anything in terms of empowering, though which it must go hand in hand in terms of powering them on the skills of how to run those, because basically we know the companies, they cannot go back. Whatever, if the industry becomes okay, they will leave those farms, because the only thing which is important to them is the maximization of profit. But how do we now buy those farms and empower now, that is, those land of communities in those areas, in terms of coming up with cooperatives that will bring life and also bring something on their tables, you know. And we, in terms of encouraging government to do that work, we can appreciate that. And there was also a question of subsidizing the some part of cost in the current situation. It's difficult for us openly to say that up front. We don't know what are these cost or input costs that can sustain, because it can be a short-term thing, kind of a thing, you know. No, but we can encourage government to be a long-term kind of a landowner. Ours to make sure that the industry becomes sustainable on their own in terms of creating jobs and so on. And for now, but maybe in a short-term period, because we're worried really if many jobs will be cut Because what we're getting now, by June, if really there's nothing that is coming, majority of these workers in this industry will be out of jobs. That is actually what is fundamental and also pushing us very hard in terms of making sure that those workers, their land or jobs are safe. Because mostly there you find women who are in majority, who are, some are widows who are now working in those industries, as feeding their own families. That is actually why we are keen to in making sure that those jobs are safe. I will allow Eddie to add if he wants to. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. And thank, it's very difficult for me to speak after my president has spoken. But let me maybe just add a few points to the discussion. I think the question that made for our GS is there is no empirical evidence around the small scaleholders, the farmers, in terms of how the EU dumping is affecting them. But I think what we want to emphasize is for them to grow within the sector, we need that dumping to stop. That is what we want to emphasize. Otherwise, we're not going to see the livestock part of our Operation Pakisa coming through also in terms of what we have progressed and foresee it should bring to the table for smallholders. The other point which you want to also bring to your attention is in our input we make mention of the avian flu. Now that is where the YAL standards come into play. We said the government must go look at the, to safeguard measures. If there's avian flu in Europe, EU, then those chicken cannot be brought into our country because of the technical barriers that we need to apply so that they cannot dump within our borders. So that is a few points that I just want to bring to your attention. And I think we also want to encourage that within the poultry sector, that the value chain type of discussions within the, there was a round table that was launched, I think November 2015, I think it was, under correction, but it never materialized further. And I think that discussion is also a way of how we can look within the value chain, see what is the needs within it, and if we can continue with that type of discussion, if the portfolio committee can maybe pick that up again with DAF, we will encourage that, that should take place also and be taken further in the industry. Thanks.
Thank you, President and your team. Honorable members, that was the response. Do we have follow-up questions? Honorable Kruger, this time it should be one. Thank you. No, Honorable Kruger, start. One question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I only had one question in mind. So the STARS team, I was just wondering, is there any red tape that will problemize the working of this task team, you know, from government side? Do you feel there's too much red tape or don't you experience any red tape in this task team negotiations? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for your responses. Put some of the matters in context. But I would still say that you need to. I'm not quite au fait with the terms of reference of the task team. Maybe because I'm an alternate in the committee, maybe I miss out on some of the things. I would still say that perhaps you need to have someone who can do a comprehensive research on the various levels of the value chain. I would say particularly you should look and be totally informed about the input costs as well as probably review the marketing strategy. The marketing strategy, if you were to review it, you would be looking at, amongst other things, the following. The alternative areas where your products should go. I'm coming from a point of view that instead of focusing your mind and your energies on saving the jobs, increase the cake, and in so doing, you will automatically create the need for more jobs. It's a negative approach to simply focus on saving the current jobs. You're going to need double energy to do that, and far less energy to increase the cake. That's why I'm saying have someone with the appropriate qualifications and experience who can look at the value chain as well as looking at the markets that you should be looking at. Businesses always have got competition, and the only way they survive and even climb up to the number one spot is because they look at it from the angles that I've suggested to you. Increase the cake, then automatically there will be a bigger need for that. One of the elements that your marketing strategy could look at is to tap into the issue of how healthy are these legs from Europe, so that you are able to make a comparison and have a campaign to inform the public, because businesses thrive in big volume, and big volume comes from big sales, and people buy because they are less informed about the quality of the meat that they are having. Then you run big campaigns to say, hey, how healthy is what you are eating? Get the Department of Health to be on your side, to look into that. It is critically, absolutely necessary that you know how healthy are these imports. That would be your starting point, so that when you run your campaign, you are able to say, choose between what is certified
Honorable
to be healthy.
Member, you have gone beyond your time.
Just one more point.
No.
Sorry, Jay.
No,
okay, let me round up.
Yeah, we don't have time.
I think I've driven the point home. Right. And I think basically that's what I wanted to say. We can have side talks on this. As I said, I've got a fairly broad, business background. I would rather we look at it that way. Thanks for the opportunity, and sorry for pinching into other colleagues'
debt. Honorable Malu.
No, Chair, just one last point. I think from the side of the committee, we must thank FAW, which is the Food and Allied Workers Union. The Food and Allied Workers Union. I think they did give us information. What we'll then do when we call the department, we'll then engage. And I would appreciate it if Honorable Fildani can be part of that meeting, because these ideas are going to be very good and they will come handy in that meeting. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. The last words, President Ndluchi.
No, thanks. Thanks, Chair. The principle that Honorable Fildani is raising, it's not rejected. It's something we'll consider, because, like I said, ours was save the current jobs, but work on creating additional more jobs through export promotion and increased market access. And through, by the way, fair trade arrangement with Europe. We are told that bed-to-bed competition with Europe, we can take them to the cleaners as South African chicken producers. More job creation out of increased cake, it's something we will support. But on the issue of red tape, I wouldn't want, so far we're satisfied about the pace. We're satisfied about the senior level of involvement in the task team. We're satisfied about delivery of reports when we meet as the task team. So the sense of agency, it's so overwhelming that all of us remain positive that the outcomes are going to be what cabinet will not find it difficult to sign off. Yeah.
You're fine. The last
word. No, I would say thank you. I think we are happy with our presentation and also the questions that were raised, and we hope that we did really address them to our own best ability in terms of addressing them. With that, I thank you.
thank you very much, honorable members and the leadership of FAW. I think the interaction with yourself will continue as we contribute towards building a sustainable industry, which I think we need for our people, because without protein, indeed, we won't survive. We have to, all of us, pull our efforts together to make sure that we save the industry, but we do the necessary changes that need to happen and correct the wrongs that might have happened in the industry. Those are the issues that we'll focus on as we go on. And we have noted some of the issues that affect us that we have to follow up on them. The issue of labeling, because I think we've been raising it ourselves, means that we should continue to raise them with government to make sure that the sooner it happens, the better, because indeed they affect all of us. It's not even about the poor only. Ourselves, when we go to the funeral, because it's affordable, we eat those things. So we have to look at these issues very seriously. And we've been saying food safety is very important for our people. And as we strive to achieve the food security, it must be balanced by the safety of the food so that we have a healthy nation. So those are the issues that would work with yourselves to realize them. And the process moving forward, we are going to engage DAF and listen from the task team whether we are happy with the pace, and then we'll take. And we want to appreciate that you've raised the issue of the round table that's supposed to be contributing towards the achievement of APEP. If it's not working, means that government is not following up on the plans that they've presented to us. We'll take it up with them. And again, thank you very much. Actually, your presentation has enlightened us about the industry itself, and we have capacitated us further. When we engage with the industry, we are more clearer now than we were before we met with you. And thank you very much. We hope as we call you for further engagement, you'll avail yourself. Not because today you are coming, there is a crisis. Even when there is a crisis, let's meet so that we be capacitated by yourself, such that we are able to represent yourself and the community at large correctly as we engage in lawmakings. And indeed, those policies that need to be tightened up, we'll follow them up and make sure that government implements. Thank you very much for coming. Safe journey home. Thank you very much. thank you very much, honorable members. We just thought we must wait for our visitors to go out. Honorable Sultan, I see you're surprised why we're quiet. The quietness is to allow our guests to be. So that, honorable members, we had, that's what we had today. And thank you very much for coming. The meeting is adjourned.
Those who are supposed to leave the meeting, please leave. We have other business to attend to.